Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Buy pumpkin.
This episode has been brought to you by TheDrop.com, where culture, fashion, home, and skate meet. Don't forget to apply code HEARASAP on orders over $100 before you check out. That is HEARASAP.
ASAP.
Thank you for tapping into ASAP, another Sean Island podcast. If you're listening on Apple, make sure you subscribe, 5-star rating, and write a review. And if you are new here, I'm your host, Sean Allen. And next to me, I got my sidekick, Downtown Tony Brown. What's up, man?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
Glad to have you back. You remember that episode we did last year when I predicted the Biden-Harris ticket?
When you predicted a Biden?
I did.
No. When I predicted the Biden-Harris ticket.
Nah, you thought Kamala was going to take it all the way.
No. Well, yeah.
And
she's still taking it all the way.
She kind of is.
She's still on the ticket. That was my point.
Yeah.
She don't lose.
I mean.
Yeah, she don't lose.
What's going to happen tomorrow?
I think that we're going to be in for a long night. I think that just like in 2016, it could be some nail biters. But right now, I just feel like because of the overwhelming turnout of early voters.
Right.
We are in a good place right now. However, a lot of Republican people have not shown up because they don't want to do early voting ballots because Trump has pushed against it. So if these people now in the next, you know, start to turn out tomorrow, you know, and just basically turn out the vote in person in spite of the COVID, then there may be some, you know, there may be some changes in the poll, you know, not in the numbers. But right now, I really do think that we are conditioned. I mean, in a place. When I say we, as Democrats, are in a place to have a blue. What do they call it? Blue wall, or just a whole lot of Democrats win, including Biden Harris.
So you're a positive. Are you saying that you think Biden and Harris are?
Yes, I do. I have the faith that Biden and Harris have done the work. Like right now, they've been in Texas. They've been campaigning. They're in states that that Democrats don't ever win, right, and don't really even go to campaign because they know they can't win. Places like Texas, places like Georgia. You know, these are states that have been, you know, red for God most of our lives.
Yeah.
So. You know, yeah, I do think that they're conditioned to win, and I think that what they did this year is push people out, got people motivated enough to start voting early, almost a month in advance. A lot of people started voting October 5th.
Oh yeah, because I never voted early before. I always took joy in lining up and voting, and I voted early this time, and I was more conscious of the mailing in and drop off. Because there's been a lot of scandal out here in regard to that. And I think, too, like, people, on one end, I want to say people are tired of Trump. But on the other end, I think that people, I see a lot of people still riding for Trump. And
well, you know what? And I honestly don't necessarily think people are riding for Trump. I think people, it's almost like, people like to be antagonists, and people like to play that whole just almost fucking with people. Can I cuss, right?
Yeah.
People are really just fucking with people, because if you look at it, I mean, especially as a black person, I mean, if you're looking at all these rappers coming out, talking about they're supporting Trump. Like, come on, really? Like,
I actually want to talk to you about, you know, the rapper thing, because Ice Cube said in several interviews, he said meeting with Trump didn't have anything to do with supporting Trump. He was just speaking with someone in charge, who's ever in charge. And is that the same reason why Lil Wayne, you know what I mean? Could that be the same sense as Lil Wayne meeting with Trump?
Okay, so let me just play common sense, okay? People are going to tell you a lot of stuff. People are going to say a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. But if you use common sense, Trump has been in office for 4 years.
Right. Why now? Right?
Why now? Yeah. That's the first question we should ask ourselves. Why now? Why hasn't Trump and you gotten together back in 2016, 2017, 2018,
2019?
When we were actually marching and doing all this other shit, were you not out there?
I didn't even look at
trying
it
to be
way.
A black leader. Yeah. It's just common sense shit you really gotta look at. Why now? Let me finish. The reason right now is because people, they're trying to win the black vote. So to me, if you look at it, like I said on my social media, I was telling people, I said, just look at it. Every week in the month of October, Trump has basically rolled out a hip-hop artist.
Right.
He rolled out. Kanye's been riding with him for a minute. And this is another. I mean, Kanye's been riding with him for a minute.
Right.
You know, and then you also had Ice Cube, but maybe 3 weeks ago. Then the next week you had 50 Cent. And then this previous week you had Lil Wayne.
The most influential people in hip-hop.
Exactly.
Except Jay-Z and Beyonce.
Right.
That's it. Yeah.
But it's not even like they still the most influential. These are just people that have been the most influential. They're not the ones. They're not Drake ain't out there. You know, Ludacris not out there. You know, these are other people they went to that turned them down. Diddy not out there.
Rihanna ain't out there.
Rihanna not out there. Yeah, Beyonce true. And Jay-Z Cardi. Not out there. It's a lot of people that's not out there. Okay. So not everybody's going to sell out. However, if you look at the people who have actually subscribed and went to this, and this is another thing that I don't mean to throw this off, but I'm gonna throw this in there because for black females, when Chrisette Michele decided to perform for Trump back in 2016,
the
black community
her.
Ate her the fuck up,
and she's done.
And she's done. Killed her career because she went to perform at his inauguration. Perform. Right. All she did was do. She's an artist.
But the same thing that they're talking about.
The same fucking thing.
Have a conversation.
So I always bring that to, you know, I want people to just really just look, use your common sense. Don't forget so easily the shit that's already happened.
Right.
And I don't think it's fair.
Well, you know, we don't respect black women anyway. So.
Well, and that's a problem. That's a problem. And I think that's also a reason why. He wouldn't meet with Kamala Harris to begin with.
Wow.
Because he came out saying the Democrats told him they'll meet with him after the election. That was not true. Kamala invited him to come meet.
Yeah.
And not just him, but Snoop Dogg, D.L. Hughley,
right.
Other artists that have used their platform
right.
in a political manner.
Shout out to D.L. Hughley, too, because he's been...
Yeah, been and not only that, and who's another one? Uncle Luke.
Even Snoop Dogg kind of been a voice... against Trump since he's been.
Yeah, he always saying fuck Trump. He ain't never been one of them Trump trained
right,
people.
Right,
I mean,
right.
It been like, who was it? 50 Cent, I think it was. Or was it Shaq? One of them bought Trump a fucking Bentley or something some years ago. Some stupid shit.
Yeah.
Like, why would you buy a motherfucker like that? But
coons.
You cooning, at least.
Yeah.
You trying to kiss his ass.
Right.
This man is claiming to be a billionaire. He don't need a fucking car. How about you get that Bentley money to your fucking hood or somebody that looks like you who could actually use that?
Right.
That's the problem I have with these rappers. But again, it's what happens when we give these people platforms. We support them with our money and we give them platforms. They turn their back on us.
Yeah.
And if we really want to look go back in history, this is the same shit as how niggas got sold into slavery to begin with.
Right.
It was black people that sold black people into slavery.
Yeah.
It wasn't just everybody was overthrown.
Yeah.
Because you can't overthrow a bunch of niggas either, because we some powerful folks. I hate to keep saying nigga when we talk about
this. That's real.
But I'm just saying is that we really have to just use your common sense. Now, I get a lot of people are fans of Ice Cube.
Right.
I loved his music. You know, I ain't going to say I loved his music. I enjoyed his music for what it is. I enjoyed his persona.
But we enjoy his film. We enjoy his TV.
I mean,
TV,
he has some films. But even that's low-key. I'm going to tell you. I'm low-key side-eyeing that, because I remember Barbershop. Remember in Barbershop when they had that scene? And that never sat right with me. A lot of us laughed at it, and I just swept it under the rug myself. But it didn't sit right with me when they was talking about Martin Luther King ain't shit. I think it was Cedric Entertainer's character.
Right.
That came out talking about Martin Luther King ain't shit. Rosa Parks didn't sit on the bus. She talking basically in a disrespectful manner for comedy purposes on that platform. That wasn't necessary to me.
Right.
Why would you? So to me... To already have felt that way about one of his projects in Barbershop.
Yeah.
Go back and look at the film, or you can look it up on YouTube.
Yeah.
They really, to me, And I guess they were trying to actually give off the experience of being in a black barbershop. But being in a black barbershop, we don't get that extreme. About we are not putting down our black leaders.
Yeah, no, we're not at all.
And that's my thing, is that don't criticize our black leaders, even for the art of it.
Right.
Or for the sake of a joke. And then come out some years later, and you actually own the fucking coon bus.
Right.
Selling out to this white man who basically told... what, the Proud Boys, white supremacist guys, to stand back and stand by. And you ain't going to acknowledge that?
Right.
That's a problem for me.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you talk about your black agenda. When you was on Roland, when he went on Roland Martin, he been on, and this is another thing, he's not just on, he's on a campaign circuit. Y'all don't, people don't realize, like, he's going on CNN. He's on TV One on Roland Martin. He's going on these Fox, Claudia Jordan show. He's on all these different platforms.
They ate him up on Cocktails with Queens.
Well, I'm glad they did. I'm glad they did.
Shout out to Claudia Jordan.
Because you got to ask these questions. This is real talk, man. Just look at the, it's just like I said, use your common sense. You're being played. The man is campaigning for Trump in the name of the black agenda.
Right.
And if you ask, what is the black agenda? He should have at least hit one bullet point when he's using his platform. He never has what do you know about the black agenda?
Not at all.
Not a damn thing.
Not a damn thing.
Because he has not even entered. He hadn't said the black agenda. And who put you over the black agenda? It's so many questions. Again, like I said, I loved Ice Cube's career path that he's had as far as music and film and what he's been able to, you know, do for our culture. But at the same time, I recognize game when I see game. And he's running game. And that's what it is.
What's interesting to me, too, about these rappers coming out with the support, are these big black figures coming out with the support for Trump. You know, nobody wants to pay taxes. If I've been hearing that argument a lot.
50 Cent was honest about his. He was like, nigga, I don't want to pay no more taxes. He was honest about his approach. But he was not honest about Biden. You know, increasing taxes like that.
But you would think that, like, Ice Cube, Lil Wayne, everybody in entertainment, basically, you would think that, like, their base supporters are middle class to poor people. So why would they shit on their middle class support? Like, Ice Cube wouldn't exist if it wasn't for the working class, you know, person, mm-hmm. black person in America, or, you know, a person in the hood. You know, Lil Wayne wouldn't exist if it wasn't for, you know, the poor black people who support and buy his music and shit like that. So why would they want to go shit on their base?
Okay, well,
and, you know, and support this man, Trump. And then another thing, too, is like, okay, so if Trump is, you know, quote unquote, taking away, I'm going to say rights for a better term, uh-huh. lack of better term, that base that held the Ice Cubes and
they held you down before.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, we can't support
and
you no more
being
because
under attack under this administration. Yeah, so why would you go support that?
As a business, you know what I mean? I'm
and
like
business wise and brand.
Yeah,
how are you
gonna
continue to market?
I, so I didn't understand
but I'm gonna
that.
Tell you this, like what you just said. So we have to consider the overall package of the career. In the beginning, black people were the ones that kind of put you on.
No, we did.
Yeah, okay, well, in the beginning.
Yeah, yeah,
I'm
going to
tell you that now. But if you go back and look at their concerts,
okay.
Their concerts are overwhelmingly white.
Right.
And there's a
Lil
reason
Lil Wayne,
for
definitely.
That. Yes. And 50 Cent.
Oh, yeah, 50 Cent, too.
These artists, their concerts a lot of times are overwhelmingly white because they have that doubt. A lot of times they have the money to go to these concerts and it's in the ball.
Oh, right, right,
support
right,
them
right,
in
right.
that way. That a lot of times, and unfortunately for us in general, we are not going to necessarily, you know, we can't afford to a lot of times.
Right.
So sometimes, hey, I got to burn that CD.
Right.
I got to burn that music. I got to somehow get it from the, you know.
It was funny. I remember a 50 Cent concert. 50 Cent built his career off of the hood and, you know, being from Queens or where he's from and shit. And his concert tickets, like nosebleed seats were like, this is back in the day, nosebleed seats were like $200. And I'm like, kids in the hood can't come see this.
Exactly.
They can't afford this.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So
it wasn't for you to begin with.
That goes to the point you just... This is another thing, too. I was looking a couple of weeks ago. It was this article. I didn't save it because I went down this rabbit hole about the black vote. It was saying that only... So the United States demographics is only, what, 13, 20, or 12% African-American?
Yeah, I think it's 13. Like,
okay, so we're going to be generous and say 13%. So... Yeah. In this country, 13% of the population in the United States is African American. Mm-hmm. And of the 13%, only 6% of them are eligible to vote or voted in the last election. Mm-hmm. 6%. Mm-hmm. So it's safe for me to think that the black vote really don't even count anyway. Has a black vote even put a president in office ever?
Yes. Obama.
Where?
Barack Obama.
6% of a vote?
You have to, but it, see, that's another thing you got to consider too. Okay. There's hundreds of millions of people in America.
Right.
And not all everybody, half of that, the biggest voter demo is the demo that didn't even turn out to vote.
Right.
That is larger than a number of people who actually voted in these elections.
Right.
So if you still had, so again, the Democratic Party has been a success and only won when the black turnout is high.
So here's the thing, like, so where do most of the African Americans in this country live? Like,
in the South?
Part in the South? Mm-hmm. The South is
Louisiana, Mississippi,
and it's red, historically Republican. So the black people who live in this country, they all live in Republican country, the Bible Belt, the South.
Uh-huh.
So it's like the black vote really don't.
No, it does count. But what you're getting at is a very, go ahead, finish with your point. But what you're getting at, to me, I feel like, is that the black vote don't turn out. That's the problem. So, like you're saying, if
what you're saying,
Mississippi, Georgia, and all these different states,
if black people vote in these states, they could potentially turn them blue.
Yes. That is the point. That is the point. But because we've been so oppressed into thinking that we don't matter, our vote don't matter, they're going to do what they're going to do anyway, which is what all the trolls are telling you under these comments and under these different blogs and shit, your vote don't matter. But all these people want you hold your vote, as Ice Cube said. Hold it for what, nigga?
Right.
What are you going to do with it by holding it? You're taking your power away. No, you go out there because that's what they want you to do. They want you to hold your vote. They want you to not be able to vote. Because when you do, that's when change happens. And that's how we got elected, the first black president. Okay. Something we never thought we would see in our lifetime.
But that
never had happened before.
The black vote did not put Obama in office.
Yes, it did.
Where?
It did. Well, I have to get you the numbers, but I don't have the numbers. But
okay, so
you can Google that. The black vote, the turnout was the highest it's been, and because of the turnout, that the turnout is the vote.
Okay, so the voting turnout for Obama in 2008 and what year? 2012 uh-huh. was the highest in black vote ever. All the black votes are coming from one region, which is always Republican anyway. So why does it? I would think that the black vote would count more so, like in a swing state.
Well, that is it. It's not just. And that's another thing. You got to be careful when you say will only count so much in a swing state. No, black vote counts in California. Black vote counts in New York. It counts in.
So Tony, if niggas don't vote, if black people don't vote in California, it's still going to be Democrat.
No, it's not. You can't assume that. You cannot assume that Orange County is heavily Republican. So the margin, County.
But the so
you cannot assume that
the margins are not that close enough for 6% of a vote to change any type of.
Yes, it is.
You think so?
You got to be careful. You got to be careful when people start talking about this and trying to go down a rabbit hole or trying to debate numbers and stuff like that.
This is dangerous, and I apologize.
It is. I think it is dangerous because again, it puts out a perception that your vote doesn't matter.
Wait, Pew Research did say only 6% of African Americans vote.
Okay, imagine if only 6% voted. Imagine if you had 10% vote, 20% vote. If 50% of African Americans voted.
Okay.
Wait. Let me say my point. Yeah. So if we got a black male president in there, off of 6% of us voting, that's just 6% of us voting, and we still got a black president. Imagine if 20% turned down, 30% turned down. How much more power will we have in this country? And if not, nothing else, how many more black people will we have elected? Because I know also having black person in power don't necessarily mean good for black people. Look at Kentucky. Look at the Attorney General.
That nigga, and he didn't do shit for Breonna Taylor.
Exactly. So I'm saying, so it's not always, you know, your skin color. So it does
come
down.
Skin folk ain't always kin folk.
Exactly. But at the same time, it does come down to the party and what the party stands for.
Okay, so let me clear this up.
So that's why I always tell people Democrats and Republicans are not the same. They're not two of the lesser evils.
Right.
Because one thing, and then when you say that also, you also try to, you diminish your brothers and sisters who are actually on the front lines, running for these offices, running to change this stuff.
Right.
So don't diminish them because you want to sit behind your computer and your keyboard and get some likes and some bullshit, because you're not doing no help to your community. You're not doing no help to yourself.
Right.
You're doing more harm. And that's another thing I think people, I'm going to let you say what your point was, but another thing people got to consider is who's behind these people that's posting this stuff on these keyboards. A lot of times these people aren't even in America.
Right.
Okay.
They be Russian bots.
They're bots, and they pay bots a lot of times.
They be Nigerians.
But they, I ain't gonna just say Nigerians, Russians.
I'm joking.
You're joking, but it's some truth to it. Just, you know, some shit we throwing out there for the sake of it. It's some truth to it. So you got to consider that. It's like people won't even have a any recourse, any kind of recourse, or it won't harm them one way or the other if our country collapses, if our country falls, or if we continue to be, you know, in harm's way with police brutality or what the bullshit is going on from this administration.
Right. I've always thought too, you know, looking at the numbers of like the black vote, I've always kind of took it as, okay, we need more black people. Back to your point earlier, you know, we do need more black people to vote. So that's what the pandering and campaigning for the black vote. And that's why it's so important, because black people don't vote, or not enough, or more can vote.
Okay, this is another thing. Now, can we talk about pandering?
Okay.
Because that should be bothering me for real. When people be like, oh, they just pandering. They just trying to get the black vote.
Duh.
What the fuck? What? Do you not want them to listen, I don't even call it pandering. I'm saying you working to get my vote, because you need to be working to get my vote. You need to be working overtime to get my vote.
Yeah, you got
to. Because, and that's the thing, I don't understand how we say, we mock candidates for trying to get our vote, and we call it pandering, as if they're trying to sell out to get our vote, or they're going to tap dance to get our vote. Yes, bitch, tap dance, do magic tricks, suck my dick to get my vote. But get my vote by any means necessary. And the reason I say that is because if you want this power, you got to come through me. So why would they be pandering and selling out to us if we didn't have no power when it came to voting?
Right.
That's the question you got to ask. It's common sense. Why would somebody pander and kiss your ass and tap dance and do all this bullshit for you that's not, if it's not true to who they really are? Like, they talked about Hillary Clinton because she said, I got hot sauce in my bag. Swag. You know what I'm saying? Because she got hot sauce in her purse. She all of a sudden pandering? No, she rocking around with hot sauce in her purse. But if y'all want to take it as pandering, take it as that and just say she's trying to relate to you because she's trying to get you. Basically, get you to understand I'm trying to rock with you. I want your vote. Otherwise, she could just say, fuck y'all, and go do what Trump did and go get these white people to be on her side. Because she's a white woman. She ain't got to work for no black vote. If the black vote don't count, why is she working to get the black vote? That's my point. If the black vote don't count, she can go work for the white vote.
But, I mean, okay, so I
agree
with that.
Because the black vote, it counts, goddammit.
No, it counts. Obviously, it counts because they're trying to, try to suppress our vote, they try to stop us from voting, so on and so forth. But I think that the problem with the quote unquote pandering that these politicians seem to do to black people, we see Democrats do it more than Republicans, to me, my experience.
Republicans don't believe that they can get the black vote, so they don't give a fuck to even pander. They don't care to even try to sway your vote because they already know they can't get your vote. So what are they? Trump panders to white supremacists.
Yeah.
Trump panders to white trailer trash crackers.
Yeah.
I mean, not crackers, but saltines. So he panders to the pasties, okay? Yeah. That's all I'm going to say. That's what he's done. So that's what he's doing. When you look at these rallies, you don't see us. But then as you also look and turn around, you see a Kanye coming out kissing his ass.
Yeah.
Being a whole new episode of the Boondocks. You see Ice Cube being a whole new episode of the Boondocks. And why y'all even doing that when he's not even pandering? He's not even coming after your vote.
Right, right.
That's my point. It's like, why would y'all support somebody who don't even care to get your vote?
Right.
But what they do care is a photo image of, so they can go out there,
photo op, and sell it
and push it to other people who are your fan base. Millions of people, young youth that follow you.
Right.
Who don't necessarily, and a lot of times the youth don't turn out to vote, but he's in hopes that, well, if I can get some of these hip hop rappers.
Right.
Because hip hop is mainstream.
Yeah, it definitely is pop culture.
It's mainstream, and people follow what hip hop does.
Right.
It's been a proven fact. You can Google it. Yeah. Everybody knows that. And it's just music. I mean, back in the 80s, it was rock and roll, but rock and roll started with us too. But I'm just saying, people follow, they follow their favorite artists, whether it be actors, models, or whatever it is.
It's very influential.
That's what they're doing. They're following the influence.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what it is. But
I think the thing, though, is that these politicians will, quote unquote, pander to African Americans, the black vote, and get in office and not do shit for black people.
Now, that is something that, okay, now that's a real concern.
Yeah.
That is a real concern. Now, if you say something like that, it's like, that's legit. So don't come to our neighborhoods. Don't come to our churches. Don't make promises. Don't tell me you got hot sauce in your bag. and then turn around once we get you to elect, give you our vote, and you get elected and not do anything for us.
Right.
Don't hold up your, and honestly, that is, again, unfortunately, I think that that is how a lot of politicians have. Even Trump, he promised them people a wall. Right. Ain't no wall in Mexico. He made promises he didn't keep.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, and again, people say, oh, he's not a politician. No, that's a politician. You know, once you get into the ring of trying to get somebody's vote, you becoming a politician. So again, that is a problem. I agree. Democrat and Republicans, do not campaign on these different promises that you're not going to be able to keep. And if you, and that's, and that was my problem with, I know a lot of people going to get mad at this, but that was my problem with Bernie. Yeah. Bernie Sanders. He made a lot of good promises,
right,
no
right.
problem with free education and free healthcare and things like that. But how are you going to get this done?
Right.
Okay. And you never explained that. You never shared with how you're going to get it done. And I know one way to get that done is to have a Democratic. You got to have a Democratic team behind you, not a Democratic, not just an administration, but you got to have Congress. You got to have the House and you got to have the Senate. So that was what all I wanted to hear from Bernie. If Bernie could have said, well, we're going to flip these seats in the Senate, we're going to flip these seats in the House. And this is what this is the relationships. And this is what I'm doing. The groundwork I'm doing to make sure that happens. Then I could be like, oh, shit. All this stuff he's saying could actually come true, because if he got these Democrats on board with him, he got a team around. No man is a, you know, no man is, what do they say? No man is an island unto himself or something like that. But no man can change the whole thing. We saw that with Obama. Obama couldn't do a lot of stuff because his hands was tied.
Right. Right.
Now, unfortunately, Obama was in office for 8 years. The first 2 years he did have the Democrats in the House and the Senate. However, as the first black man coming into the door, he couldn't come in there like Donald Trump did.
Oh, no.
He couldn't come in there with that reckless.
They would have killed his ass.
Okay. They, yeah. they would not have allowed that to happen.
Oh, hell so, no. Again, he had to play it safe.
So what happened was, after he was in there for 2 years, they lost the Senate. And, you know, and eventually lost, you know, the House. So then now right. you have to deal with, what can I do as just the president
right.
when I have a Republican? Check it, our government system is checks and balances.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You have the executive branch, you have the judicial branch, and you have the Congress. I forget what it's called. That branch is called. But anyhow, you have the three different branches. And if the executive branch is Democrat, but the other is Republican, it's just like, okay, what can you get done?
Right.
That's why we haven't gotten our stimulus now, because you got the House passed the second stimulus, which is overseen by Democrats.
12 Nancy million Pelosi. Unemployed.
They passed it back in May.
Right.
Okay. So here we are now, coming up on November. Well, we're in November now, and we still don't have our second stimulus. But the Democrats already said, yes, give them a second stimulus. Republicans have been sitting on this shit.
Right.
Mitch McConnell, who's over the Senate, said back before the 4th of July, we're going to go on break. But after we return, we're going to have a vote.
Right, right.
Back, and this is around the 4th of July.
Yeah.
Right before the 4th of July. And here we are, and we still don't have anything. And right. just the other week, he was telling Trump, don't make a deal. Don't give a stimulus.
Right. And then Trump come out and say he's going to give the stimulus checks after he wins, after the election.
Well, you can't hold out. So you're going to hold us hostage?
Yeah, yeah.
You're going to hold us hostage, dangle a carrot in front of our face?
Yeah, yeah,
if you vote for me, I'll give you this check. And as we've seen before, like I said, we've been, what, since July? That's 4 or 5 months ago. Like, yo.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that's home, that become homeless, that's hungry, can't eat, can't afford to pay their bills, all because y'all playing politics.
Right.
And you know what I'm saying? And that's detrimental, man.
Oh, yeah, that's fucked up. And you don't care about the American people.
But it makes people also not care about politics.
Right.
It makes our democracy basically look like a sham. So that's why a lot of people start to feel like my
fuck
vote
these
don't count.
Fuck voting.
Or, yeah, like fuck voting. Fuck all of it.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time.
That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Because they fucking with me. And that's what a lot of times they are doing. It's not the, it's, but again, this is where I draw the line. Republicans and Democrats are not the same thing.
Right.
They're not the same thing. The Democrats have already passed the bill for the stimulus. However, the Republicans don't want to do right by the fucking people.
Right.
So they try to add some shit in there or try to do something that's not going to necessarily fly. And that's what, and I mean, you just have to look at stuff like that. I mean, even when people would say, I mean, go ahead. I don't want to keep backing.
No, you're, I mean, you're right. Everything you're saying, you're right. But so
go ahead.
You're very politically astute, and I have an issue too. So I feel like I know a little something about politics when I'm speaking to my friends. Then I speak to you, and it's like, oh shit, Tony knows a lot.
But it's not. But I'm gonna tell you this: politics is not hard. Religion is not hard. I'll say this about that too. I feel like really it's just a matter of thinking and not allowing somebody to tell you something and to jump on it. Like I could tell you something until you blew in the face, and I could be wrong. But because I'm so adamant and passionate about what I'm saying, a lot of people would subscribe to it. That's not how you should do.
Right.
That's not, as a person, as a viewer, as a listener, as a researcher, that's not what you should do.
Right.
Just because you heard me say it, don't buy into it. Look it up for yourself.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Verify that I'm saying it. Fact check everything that you hear. But at the same time, look at the common sense. You got to look at, like, because people, like, I'm going to throw one thing out there, like the crime bill. Okay, so.
I actually got something on that. Go about
okay,
it.
Okay, so a lot of people would jump on this crime bill and be like, oh, Joe Biden, he's the man behind the crime bill. Okay, well, wait a minute. In 2016, y'all said Hillary Clinton was the woman behind the crime bill. So y'all pick and choose, first of all, who's behind the crime bill. But if you really go back and knew your history outside of this YouTube research, this, what is it called, QAnon, whatever this conspiracy theory shit people been hopped on now, and actually look at it, you would say, okay, in 1994 is when the crime bill was established, right? So Bill Clinton didn't come into the White House until, what, 1993. So, and prior to Bill Clinton, the Democratic president, the first that we had in 12 years at that point, you had George W. Bush Sr., and you had President Reagan, who did two terms. So, if you got 12 years of Republican leadership.
Right.
Okay.
That fucked everything up.
And you say that, and you look at it how you can say maybe it was good for you, maybe it was bad. But for me and for my people, when I say my people, I'm talking about black people, it was bad. It was when the crack era took off. Okay.
Right. Crime was at its all time high.
At its all time high from that. Okay. So, and the crack era came into the black community in the 80s.
And Reagan.
Doing Reagan.
Yeah.
From, you know, 81 to, for his 8 years in term, 89. And then you had that followed up by another Republican, George W. Bush, who came in from, I think, 89 to 93. So in that, they did what Trump is doing now. They filled the courts with Republican judges.
Let me interject too. Those 12 years, crime was at an all-time high in this country.
Well, because of the drug pandemic.
It
trickled down until the 90s, and it got actually to this worst, I believe it was 93-94, one of the reasons why the crime bill was established to begin with. But the reason crime was so high was because of the drugs that came into the black community.
Right.
Okay? And for that, when people are on drugs, what are they? They become addicts. So yeah. They don't care about going to work. They don't care about family and just sustaining being upstanding citizens. They're looking for their next hit. So y'all destroyed our community by doing that. And then when you did that, not only that, you started locking us up. And let me just get back to the crime bill. So the crime bill comes into 1994. And the reason for that, and the Black Congressional Caucus supported it, our Black leaders supported it, our Black church pastors were also in the pulpit supporting this bill. And the reason, and that was because we had gang violence had taken over in the 90s. So in the 80s, you had the crack and the drug era.
Yeah, Tom Bradley supported it. That was the mayor of L.A. The mayor of D.C. at that time was Marion.
Yeah, Marion Barry. And he got caught with crack, too. And so he supported the crime. Now the shit was, that's how bad crack was. You had elected officials getting caught with that stuff. Right. So, and I'm talking about Black elected officials. So basically, if the 80s is a crack era and follow that up behind that with an era of crime, with the gang era in the 90s, crime was obscene.
Yeah,
and because of that, our neighborhoods, our Black communities were being terrorized by our own brothers and sisters.
Yeah,
and so that's my grandmother couldn't walk to the grocery store in East End in Little Rock. Right. She couldn't go nowhere, and she had to, you know, we had to go over there to get her because she couldn't go out of fear.
Right,
out of fear of other Black people. That's not right. That's one reason why the crime bill came along. Now, did it have a lot of different things, measures in it? Yes. And that's the problem. Right. And that's the problem that I bring back up to now with the stimulus bill. Republicans are always like, oh, we'll pass it, but you're going to put out, we want to put this in there. We're going to dump this in on a bill. We want to, you know, block this. We want to add this to it. And Nancy Pelosi is saying, no, she's not playing them games.
Right.
You know, it's for the people. And so, but a lot of people get mad at Nancy Pelosi and say, oh, well, they all the same. I need to feed my kids. Yeah, we know you got to feed your kids, but she want to make sure you feed your kids and that your kids also don't end up in jail.
Right.
Or in the system by these other little measures that's been added to this bill that Republicans are tacking onto it. And that's what happened a lot of times with the crime bill. And so back to my point on the crime bill is when you had 12 years of Republican leadership, they filled the courts with Republican conservative judges. So judges are the people who actually lock up black, brown, white, or whoever. Okay.
Right.
So if the courts are filled with Republican conservative judges like Amy Coney Bryant, the lady who just got, you know, nominated for the Supreme Court by Trump, if you fill in the courts with these type of people,
of course,
what do you think is going to happen when you land in front of them and you standing before the judge and they already feel like you a stereotypical nigga?
Right, right.
They already feel like, you know, I already know what I'm going to do with you. But they let Stevie, little white boy up the street, come in there and go back home.
Right.
But you got to spend the night in the court.
Right.
You got to spend the night in the jailhouse. Why is that? That's systematic racism. They treat you different than they're going to treat their own kid.
Right.
You know? So that's the issue I hate that people don't understand and didn't look at is that in 1994, the courts were filled with conservative judges.
Yeah.
And systematic racism is still a thing today. So just imagine how bad it was then.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So again, I'm not trying to make excuses for the crime bill. I'm just trying to give you a broader perspective of what the crime bill was.
Because we know you guys ain't go research it.
Because it just wasn't a bill to say, oh, it locked up black and brown. He wanted to lock up black and brown people. No, the motherfucker didn't. He actually wanted to make the community, our community, safer because our communities were becoming hell holes.
Right.
Unsafe.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember I'm from Little Rock, Arkansas. They did a whole HBO documentary called Banging in Little Rock.
I remember
when
that.
Bill Clinton decided to run for president, they sent HBO came there and did a documentary trying to basically paint the state, the city that Bill Clinton is from was the governor of. He was the governor of Arkansas. So basically, they came there to paint our city and state as some crime infested place. And if you elect this man to be your president, this is what your country's going to look like. So they came there to paint Arkansas as some gang violent place.
I remember that.
And and of course, growing up, I was like in the seventh or eighth grade. I remember seeing people I went to school with and laughing at these fools. Cause I'm like, yo, that's how, that's poo. God rest his soul. Cause he eventually did get past, you know, cause gang violence, gang life, you either end up in jail or you end up.
You guys have Bloods and Crips out there?
Yeah. And they came from LA.
Oh, shit.
They had a dude from LA. I forget his name, but he came from LA. If you go back and look at the documentary,
it's on
there.
YouTube, actually.
He moved from LA to Little Rock, basically, I guess, trying to change his life, but he didn't change his life. He just brought that shit with him.
Right, right.
So You had that, but it wasn't just black gangs. I mean, there was an Asian gang. It was a dude that sat right behind me in class who I'm talking to, and then the next night I see him on the news, and he'd have murdered the postman.
Oh, wow.
And I'm thinking like, yo, that's what's your name from class. You know what I'm saying? So it's almost like you just really had to have lived it, not through YouTube, had to have grown up in the 90s and lived in the 90s to have understood what was going on at that time.
Yeah.
So that's, it was necessary. The crime bill was necessary, or you know, and that's why I think the Black Congressional Caucus supported it. I think that's why black pastors supported it.
Right.
And I think that's why Joe Biden supported it.
I mean, black people supported the crime bill.
We did. And it's just like what Tupac said. It's like Tupac said, we don't want to have to fear the police. We need security in our neighborhoods too.
Right.
We want to feel safe in our neighborhoods too. Yeah. We don't want to feel like, you know, hostage or prisoners in our neighborhood.
Right.
So we want police to do their jobs. We just don't want to be their target when we're don't lump us all as the same thing.
Right.
And that's
right.
what they did. Yeah. You can't look, oh, your black skin makes you a criminal. No, it doesn't.
Right.
Does your white skin make you a racist?
Right.
I want to hear them. I want them to ask themselves that. If you white, ask yourself, does your white skin make you a racist? No, it doesn't.
Right.
So my black skin does not make me a criminal necessarily.
Right.
So don't treat me as such. If you don't want me to treat you like you some racist, then don't treat me like I'm some kind of criminal.
I always say, too, when we have these conversations, we always have to follow it up with the systematic racism and, you know, the institutionalized racisms that have been put in place that allow these crimes and these lifestyles to flourish and happen. We wouldn't be doing these things in our neighborhoods if we had resources, jobs, you know, the financial stability or, you know, the Black Wall Street. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Crime happens in, you know, lower impoverished areas because of the lack of resources.
Exactly. Lack of jobs.
And the lack of jobs and the lack of resources are because of
education.
You know, racism and lack of access to education. And did I say systematic racism?
Yeah. But you know, I'm going to piggyback.
Go ahead.
I'm going to piggyback on what you're saying.
Okay.
Because also, the crime bill wasn't the only thing that the Democrats did to change the whole drug era and the gang era that was happening. Bill Clinton created the most jobs any president had at the time. I think even now, 18.6 million jobs were created under the Bill Clinton administration. That's the most, I believe, any president. I know at the time, any president.
Hey, actually, that's when a lot of us bought homes, too, in the
90s. Exactly. And that's when my thing was, I mean, however, I know hindsight is 2020 because it was a housing bubble popped and all this other shit. But you have to look at the intent, and what happened in the moment was black folks was owning homes.
A lot of black wealth in the 90s.
A lot of black people were getting jobs.
Atlanta.
Thank you. Atlanta started to boom. Places like that type of shit happened, and people can say, oh, well, that ain't got nothing to do with the president. It does.
It has everything.
It all trickles down, baby.
You're
talking about trickle down economics. Yes, the fuck it does. If you look at how, if it does, and this is one thing I always say, too, when people try to say the president doesn't have anything to do with the local. It does. I'm going to look at, if you look at the example Obama was, when Obama was in office, he brought in hope and change and this whole thing that things are possible. You look at when Trump is in office, where has the country gone? We living in hell right now.
Right.
We in a quarantine pandemic.
Fucking pandemic.
We dealing with racism pandemic, Black Lives Matter. We having a march every time you turn around, police brutality, the police that amped up their shit. And who's been the one pushing them to do that? Your president.
Trump. Yeah.
So it does trickle down from the president. He sets the tone of the country.
Definitely.
And not just the country, but the world. The world looking at us fearful of what's going to happen to them because of what's happening to us. If it can happen to us, then they feel like, well, damn, sure going to happen to us.
Because it's America. You're supposed to be the most powerful bitch on the
America's
planet.
America's been this shiny light on the hill for so many years, for so many decades, centuries at this point. America's been that place of hope.
Yeah.
It changed. Now motherfuckers don't want to come here because they're looking like shit. Y'all killing each other.
Right.
And not only that, but we can't even wear a mask to save our own ass.
Right. Because our president, I mean, it's
he's made everything a joke. So again, it does matter that you vote for your presidents and you vote for your locals as well. You vote for your representatives. You vote for the judges. You vote for the people that's over the head of your school district, your colleges. You gotta look at all the props and the measures.
That's another thing too. You know, I'm black. I'm a black man. I'm from LA. We don't pay attention to, you know, we're all amped up and excited about or scared about the election and what's going to happen tomorrow. but we don't participate in our local government at all. And then we stop having these conversations. We stop having our foot on these politicians' necks, you know.
Once we get them in office.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, nigga, why are we having these conversations a month before election?
Yeah, or why are we having to, this is another thing that bothers me. Why are we still having to go out in March?
Yeah.
It's 2020. Why are we still having to go out in March? Now, I'm not saying we should march, you know, don't
protest. Definitely protest.
But my thing is this. Your vote is your power. All the marching in the world is just marching in the world. Until you actually put pen to paper and you actually do the work and you read what the hell is going on, you got to read, people. That's what we don't. Most of us, a lot of us don't like to read. You got to, and when I say read till you get an understanding. So don't just read it and glance over it. Like how sometimes I would do when I'm reading the Bible, I read it. You know, when I was a kid, my mama tell me go read the Bible. I read it and I go put it down. I read it, mama, and go sit down. And then she come back and ask me to explain it. I couldn't explain nothing because all I did was read it. I didn't even try to gain an understanding.
Right.
And the reason that I couldn't gain an understanding is because sometimes when I was reading it, it was like in biblical, thou shalt not die. And I'm like, wait, that ain't how I talk. So it wasn't my language. Right, so I'm saying when you are voting on these measures and these props, you make it your language. You read it till you get an understanding. If you can't sit down and look and understand it, because again, a lot of time it is legal jargon. So some of this stuff is intentionally worded the way it is
for you to not understand.
For you to not understand it.
Right.
So if you and that's again, every time you turn around, there's so many loopholes to block you from getting justice and from gaining power. Okay? From the simple way of wording shit on the ballot. It's in legal jargon. Most people are not going to be most people, if you didn't graduate from some college or have some kind of degree, you probably, I'm not going to, even if you got a college degree, you probably can read and still not understand what's on it.
Right.
So that's the thing I said, and that's the beauty of being able to vote early is that you can, while you were at home, pull up the computer, you can research if it's a word you don't understand, you can research it. If it's a candidate's name you're not familiar with, you can research, you can go to their Instagram page, you can go to their Facebook, you can Google them. The way you Google your baby daddy, the way you Google your girlfriend,
Cardi B wife,
the way you Google your coworkers and how much they making, whatever, you can Google these people and dig up the stuff and find out. Okay, well, this is what you said 10 years ago. You can go to their Twitter, dig up their shit the same way you dig up these housewives stuff and be like, oh, I remember she said this in 1992.
Right.
Well, you need to be doing that about these people who's trying to have power over you.
And these props, are there any props that in particular in California that you?
Well, I mean, props are something that I feel like to each his own. Because I when I was doing my research on the props, and I used this site called VotersEdge.org, and in it you put in your zip code and basically, I think it's like, you don't have to put your address. You can put an address nearby if you don't trust the system. But you put in the address and your zip code, and it will basically pull up the people, all the measures that's going to be in your community, the local candidates in your community, whether it be judges, representatives, whoever. And you can go down and read about them, and as well as the person that's running against them. And you can even click on a button that says compare, and then it'll give you a breakdown from like the pros and cons on this person or the prop. And the pros and cons on taking voting yes and no on the prop. So that's the beauty of it, is that there are engines out there on the computer that you can use and actually do your research. That simplify to the point that it's trying to break down this legal jargon all this other stuff that's set up basically really kind of to suppress your vote. It's kind of helping you break that down and decipher what is it really saying for me. So if I vote no, this is what'll happen. This is what it's going to cost me. This is what it's going to cost my community. If my child ends up before Dr. Judge Lee Wu, that's just a that's just a name I made up. But if my child ends up in court before this judge, this is what I'm dealing with.
Right.
And you need to know if this judge was once somebody that was part of the Proud Boys, or this judge was somebody who once wore blackface in college, or because that type of shit is out there.
Right.
But we don't know that sometimes until we now in the streets marching for justice for your child.
And it was something that we were supposed to vote on to pay attention.
You voted that motherfucker in the office. Look at the brother in Kentucky.
Daniel Cameron, prime example.
Exactly. You voted him into office.
Because he was black.
Well, I mean,
he was a Republican though, right?
He's a Republican.
But they voted because he was black. They voted him because he was black.
And I'm going to say this, and it's going to sound ignorant to you, to whoever, but I'm like Issa Rae. I'm a bet on black. Okay. So if it was, but however, that also, and I say that, like I said, it sounds ignorant because betting on black does not always mean you're betting on black.
I mean, that's because a prime example.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So I understand why people who maybe at the time didn't realize the importance of doing their research or didn't realize it. And I hate the word research. To me, it sounds so uppity and so bougie and so condescending. And so just like you want to be know-it-all bitch, do your research. No.
Yeah. The research thing, it does have a tone. Do your research. But you know what? I've been going through a lot with my friends too, because it's a luxury to not know anything about politics, and it's a luxury to not know anything about policy. And it's offensive when I talk to my friends who have children who aren't aware, or who now want to have the conversation, you know, 5 days before the election. That's very offensive to me. And I don't have children, and you don't have children.
Yeah.
And I see how positive and not positive. I see how knowledgeable you are.
Or engaged. It's not even so much. And that's another thing.
What'd you say?
I say engaged.
Yeah.
We're
just
more engaged, but you also got to consider what you're saying. And I'm not trying to make excuses for people, but the fact that when you do have children, when you have jobs, and when you have so many other responsibilities, trying to decipher what's good and what's bad in politics is almost to you the least of your worries until they become your main worry. And there's a lot of times they become your main worry
when it's too late.
It's too late. Yeah. But again, that's also how the system has fucked so many people. Like you're saying, I understand families. Like we talk to our friends and family who don't know anything about what's going on. I remember when Kamala was running for, is it okay?
Yeah.
I remember when Kamala Harris was running for back last year, and I would mention somebody back in October that Kamala Harris, and they were like, a black woman running? They had no clue. And this woman has been running. This is October. This woman had been running since January 21st.
Right.
She got into the race. So for 10 months, this woman has been on the campaign trail. And you mean to tell me you didn't know there was a black candidate, a black female candidate on the ticket? No. And these are educated people.
I feel like the most people who, the people who are not educated or knowledgeable when it comes to politics are the ones who are most affected. Does that make sense? The ones who don't know, because going back to my friends who have children and families and shit like that, I'm like, you should be like a political junkie. Policy guru and junkie, because your children are going to be affected by
the most,
you know, the your lack generation. Of knowledge, and you know, if you're going to vote or what you vote for, so on and so forth. So it is very. What can I say? It's offensive, and it's, you know.
It's something that I think that it's sad.
It really is sad.
It's a disappointment. I mean, it really is. But again, I don't say that to be judgmental on the person. I say that to say we got to do better. And we got to look ahead before we have to get out and march, before we have to become a hashtag. We got to make our election and voting a hashtag. It got to be just as important, because that's where our power lays. You know, because God forbid I could walk out and something could happen to me tomorrow or today or whenever. And I'm not here to be a voice pushing for people to go vote, or voice to pushing for people to be in some, you know, just engaged and active in their communities. So then who does it?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's just like you have to really just be concerned about your well-being and the well-being of the future of the country. And I know for some people, I remember there was a girl who I knew who said, well, I don't vote, because she said, I own my own business. I'm not worried about, you know, I don't have to work for nobody. It's no concern.
Does she have children?
Huh? She has no children. No.
Okay.
She has no children. She is married. And there's another thing that I find interesting, because she's married to a woman. So again, look, you only got able to marry that woman
because of votes.
Votes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you're able to be a business owner because of
votes. And because so it does. So, but now here we are in 2020.
Yeah.
And nobody can come to your business because nobody has money. And because of this pandemic and how it's been handled by these people that were voted into office.
Yeah.
Now, how's your business doing?
Right.
You fucked.
And if our votes didn't mean anything, they wouldn't try so hard to suppress them.
End of story.
And still,
it's common sense. That's period.
Yeah.
End of story.
Yeah.
If your vote didn't mean anything, they wouldn't try so hard to suppress it.
Right.
And they try in every way, whether it be all the way down from them blocking you in lines, from shutting down voting site, polls, even to the part of the legal jargon. And that's not necessarily saying it's voter suppression. I'm not saying the way that the props and measures are worded is voter suppression. It, however, is intimidating to some people who can't understand.
Oh yeah, well, it was created for the time when we started this whole system of voting, we didn't have the education. Black people didn't have the education. That stuff, that language is written and created for the people who...
Well, honestly, I really feel like it's written and created for lawyers. It's just like if you read the back of your ingredients on shit that you get from the grocery store. You read all that stuff, nobody... Please, if somebody know how to read the stuff that's on the back of their stuff and actually grasp what it is in the blink of an eye, as you reading it, as you're standing in the checkout or you standing in line, you don't know what you're reading. You don't know even what you're putting in your body. It says coloring 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 7, and it's some words you can't even pronounce. And then you look at it, and it's a big cluster of words.
Yeah.
So it's really a cluster of words. It looks like a clusterfuck. So what do you do? Instead of trying to figure it out, you say, well, shit, let me just get it. I like the way it tastes.
Yeah.
And you go about your business.
Right.
The same thing we do when we vote.
Right.
Well, let me just get it here. I like the way that name sounds. Let me go about my business. It says Tyrone. I voted for Tyrone.
We're being signaled to wrap up, though.
Cool.
Let me ask you this. So who do you think is going to win tomorrow?
Kamala Harris. Oh, I mean, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris.
Joe Biden. I mean, I'm scared, man. I'm kind of concerned.
No, you got to keep faith. You got to keep hope alive. As you know, Jesse Jackson would say, keep hope alive. And Obama always said, and you know, his campaigns is, you know, hope is, you know, it's just something that you got to hang on to. It's just like, if you don't have that, what do you have? You know, I know. And also, you know, God forbid if the Democrats didn't win.
Right. Man.
I mean, God forbid, you know, it's almost like, okay, for the next 4 years, you might want to hold on to your pay, hold on to everything you got. And then not only that, this might be the way that we're living right now in quarantine. It might be the way of the future.
Right.
You know, it might be it, as long as we continue to allow people who don't know how to manage a pandemic or manage crisis and just different things that we experience,
right?
When you know that we can't expect the unexpectancy, when we put people like that into place, you never know what you're gonna get.
What do you suggest to our listeners who haven't voted yet to do as soon as possible?
If you haven't voted yet, as soon as possible, I would actually get on my computer or find a way to learn what's on my ballot, research those issues, and decide which side you're going to stand on, you know? And when you decide to pick a side to stand on it, pray about it, and then go get in line, prepare yourself, take your snacks, take your lawn chair if you need to.
You have your phone fully charged?
Yes, have your phone charged, have your water, have your lawn chair. So basically put all that shit in a backpack, stand in line, and just get it done. I mean, and for sometimes you, and I say that because just to prepare for that, it don't always take everywhere you go. Everywhere you go is not going to be an hour wait. Everywhere you go is not going to be a 2 hour wait. Right. Some places you go, you can do this shit. If you go, walk in and walk out. So right. I know a lot of times people sound like, I ain't got time for that. It's not like that everywhere. So don't let everybody make you feel, or let the news or people make you feel like, oh my God, it's something to fear. Like, no, actually just go and get it done. Sometimes you walk in and you walk out. Sometimes it's 20 minutes. Sometimes it's 2 hours. So I say to prepare for that 2 hours by taking a chair, if you got to stand in line, wear your mask, take your hand sanitizer, and just be prepared and pray, you know, hope for the best. And, you know, come November 3rd, November 4th, hopefully we wake up to a brighter day.
Okay. And on that note, where can they find you?
Okay. I'm on Twitter and Instagram, and on both, my name is Why Not Bro, spelled YNOTBRO. And yeah, that's it.
All right. And again, thank you for tapping in, Apple listeners. Hit that subscribe button if you haven't already. Spotify, iHeart, Pandora, Amazon. Hit that follow button. See you guys in the next one. Thank you for tapping in.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.